That'll give you just a brief idea of what we're trying to do. And let me share with you a verse that God used in my heart back in 2009. And this was, been praying, my wife and I have been praying for some time about how we could be more effective in our latter years of serving Him on the foreign mission field. And of course, I learned some things from the Nationals because of being with them for a number of years. And the Lord began to burden my heart as to how I could help these men more effectively than what we were already doing. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, it says, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Oftentimes, some preachers, they think if you teach that you're not a preacher. And I'm the opposite. If you're not a preacher if you don't teach. And you're not a teacher if you don't preach. So I think you need to do both, because the example we have of Christ in the Scriptures, He was both. He was a preacher and a teacher. And you want people to remember what you say, amen, and what you're trying to share with them from the Word of God. Let me give you just a brief background, my background. I pastored in Cantonment, Florida, just north of Pensacola, for about 18 years. And during that period of time, I sent a family to Ghana, West Africa, to do church planting work. And I made a trip there in 1997 to West Africa for the very first time. And it was during that time that God really began to speak to my heart about the need and gave me a great burden for what was there. And at that time, immediately, I didn't feel like He was calling me there, but He was touching my heart and asking me to get more involved and do more than what I was doing. And during that period of time, I was with a man, a Ghanaian man who was a pastor. Matter of fact, he's older than I am. And he got his training at Tennessee Temple University. Amen. And it's really unusual how God works in people's lives, but that's where he met his wife, and she was also a Ghanaian. And they didn't know one another prior to coming to the U.S. And they met there, and God trained him for the gospel ministry, and he returned to Ghana and began to do the work of the Lord there. And I was invited upon that trip that I took in 1997 to preach in his church. And as we were riding back to the guest house where I was staying, I asked him, I said, "Brother Holbrook, what do you believe as a pastor and a Ghanaian man is the greatest need in Ghana?" He said, "Pastor, we need men from America to come and help us train our men who have been called into the ministry. We're not to the point that we're able to do that." Now that was, that's going on 15 years ago, but or longer than that now. But God used that in my heart. I don't know what else we said that night. I don't know what I preached that night. The only thing I remember from my meeting with Dr. Holbrook was that was a tremendous need in the country of Ghana. And so then 99, my wife and I made a trip over there to be there for the organization of one of the churches that our missionary family out of our church in Florida was starting in the town of Takoradi. And as we went there, it was during that time and during that trip that God confirmed in my heart and hers that we needed to be in Ghana, West Africa. And I kind of resisted that because I didn't feel like I was the one that was adequate to do that kind of work. But God had other plans. He made me a promise when He called me into the ministry. He said, "Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it." So I said, "Lord, you'll have to do it as you've always done. I can't do it." So I made myself available, and I came back and I resigned my church in 2000. 2001, we were on our way to Ghana, West Africa. And we spent the next 10 years working with the Nationals, planting churches, working with a couple of other missionaries during that time. And the Lord allowed us to be a part of training men because we had a Bible Institute during that period of time, and we were able to train men who had been called to be pastors and do the work of the ministry. And out of those men that we had as students, we had representatives. I think we mentioned this in the DVD. They were from Ghana, they were from Liberia, they were from Nigeria and Togo. And so now some of those men have returned to their homelands. And Pastor, I'm not against sending American missionaries to the foreign field. I'm all for it. And so don't take me wrong. But I learned something as a missionary while I was on the field in Ghana, West Africa, is that the national, if he's called of God and he's properly trained in the scriptures, he can do much more work, much quicker than you and I, who are Americans and have to go there to learn the new culture, to learn the people, to learn the language. And let me give an example. In Ghana alone, which is about the size of the state of Oregon, Ghana alone, 25 million people, they have 75 languages and dialects. It's about the size of Oregon, just the state of Oregon. And so you can go from region to region, and you might run into people that speak three or four different dialects. Now, the national language was English, but not everybody spoke English, because over the years, sometimes there was some disagreement as to whether or not they wanted to maintain or keep their dialect fresh in their hearts and in their mind. But some of the men in Ghana are able to speak not only English, the national language, but they're able to speak some as many as six different dialects. And I was there for many years, and I cannot speak in the dialect that was locally yet. I could never preach in it. I can communicate and get along with people, but not preach the Word of God. And so I found out that these men already know the culture. They already understand the people. They preach to the people and they talk to the people in the heart language. They can reach far many more people for less money than it takes to send a missionary there from America. He learns, he has to be on deputation for who knows how long, depends on his personality. He might be a good man, but if he doesn't have a really outgoing personality, he may not get his support right away. We're human, aren't we? But he's got to live during those years that he's on deputation, his poor family sacrifices all during that time. And then he goes to the field and he lasts maybe one term and he's back. I believe that God is directing us to help the nationals who are called of God and trained in the scriptures. We come along beside that church, that established church, who wants to plant another Baptist church where there are no Baptist churches. Not across the street, not just down the road, but where there are no Baptist churches. And we come along beside that pastor and that church who has a church planner that they're training to do, go out and start another church. And we try to make it as easy for him as possible. And that includes trying to help him financially so he can devote all of his time to doing the work of the ministry and not having to work and provide for his family while trying to do the work of the ministry as well. Right. Amen? To me, it's good common sense. And so that's one of the things that we're doing. I believe that churches ought to plant churches. Rock of Ages doesn't plant churches. We help established churches plant churches. And we also help some of those men, when they pastor those churches, then they become pastor of that church after they get it up and going. And we reevaluate that church every about every 2 years, we reevaluate it to see where how it's progressing and how can we help, what needs changing, and we just try to be a help and be an encouragement to that pastor and to that church planter to help them get that church up and going. And so that's primarily what I'm doing, and I go there, I help train, I help teach, and I go out and I go do soul winning. And now, because of my relationship with the Rock of Ages, I'm also going into the prisons. But again, it's doing the same thing again. We're taking the PBI, which is the Prison Bible Institute. We have now over 24,000 currently prisoners doing the Bible Institute right now here in America. That's not counting overseas. We're now opening doors in Ghana, Liberia, and Togo, where already we're into the prisons, men on a regular basis, at least once or twice a month, the same prison, and there's people that are getting saved or being enrolled in the PBI. They're in Togo, where we work with Brother Vincent. Most of you know him, right? He's a great man of God. And there, you know the reason that God is using Brother Vincent in such a great way? He got his training in a good place. He got his training here. And now he is well-respected. He's looked up to by his peers in the country because of his leadership abilities. And so we came in contact with him, actually came in contact with him here, but then we ended up going there. And we talked to him about the possibility of having a pastor's conference last year. And we thought maybe, possibly, he thought he might have 75 or 80 men. We had 143 men coming from all over Togo to that conference. We even had 5 men to drive 20-some hours on terrible roads from Burkina Faso, 5 pastors. And we're hoping to open up Burkina Faso in the near future. Also, we're hoping to go into Benin, which is also French-speaking, and it's on the east side of Togo. And we'll be going back in February to Ghana as well as Togo. We're anticipating 200 pastors this year because word is beginning to spread what a blessing the conference was and the training that they received during that time. It'll be Rock of Ages missionaries as well as some pastors from the States will be traveling with us to that conference. So we're excited about what the Lord is doing in these countries. I want to mention a couple of names, or two or three names. I mentioned Brother Vincent, whom you already know, but Brother Evans Benya is one of our church planters. Please pray for him. He has a church up and going, and they've already outgrown their leased facility, and they need land so that they can build a church building. And it won't be anything like this. It'll just be a little thing with a roof on it to keep them out of the sun and out of the rain. But he's outgrown his facility. They don't even have the children or young people in their service. They can't get them in there. But please pray for him. Evans Benya, he's in Ghana. And then Brother George Minion. Brother George is one of our Liberian graduates, has gone back to Liberia. George is the pastor of Grandview Baptist Church, and George has, he again is one of these men that God is just a natural leader, and people look up to him and listen to him, and through his influence, since 2011, 9 independent fundamental Baptist churches have been planted in the country of Liberia. Liberia is under tremendous pressure, under tremendous attack, physically, spiritually. They've been in a civil war for over 14 years. Over 300,000 people have lost their lives. And then they're just beginning to get back on their feet. They've elected a woman as their president. She was reelected and is doing very good job in restructuring the country, and things were just making good progress. And now Ebola has struck Liberia. Folks, I wouldn't be near afraid of getting Ebola here in the U.S. because I've been in the hospitals over there. Please pray for these folks. Satan wants to put a stop to all the good things that are going on there spiritually. So please pray for Brother George's wife, Irene. Supposed to have surgery on Monday. Please remember her in prayer. She's having some problems. She's tumors that she has, doctors say, are going to turn into cancer if she doesn't have this surgery. And so many of God's people have graciously responded to that need, and we've raised $1,800 to help with that surgery. And they won't do the surgery unless they have the money up front. And she can't even have it at the hospital. Has to have it at a doctor's clinic because of the Ebola situation. So Ghana has 46 prisons. We're in 21 of those prisons on a regular basis. Liberia is 15 counties, has 15 prisons, and we're in 6 of those prisons. In Togo, they have 12 prisons. We're in 8 of those prisons on a regular basis, and we hope to be in the very near future to be in all 12 of those prisons. We've preached in all of the prisons. Matter of fact, back in September when we were there, we were in all but one of those prisons, and we saw 343 people saved. And that's through visitation, churches, and prisons. But most of those decisions were in Togo. And, of course, we couldn't do it without the help of Brother Vincent, because he's our go-to man. And, of course, he has two men now who were not pastors, but now they're involved in ministry full-time because of the prison work. And So we praise the Lord for the souls that have been saved. And one of the men stood up after one of the services in Togo. We were recently there. Stood up and said, "I just want to thank the Lord for, I just finished the lesson that was brought to us by the Rock of Ages on prayer." And he said, "I just finished that. What a blessing that has been to my heart." And last Saturday morning, while I was out with our assistant pastor, going door to door, and I got a phone call. It was from Togo, and I answered. I thought at first it was probably Brother Vincent, but then I realized it was one of his preacher boys, Brother William, and he was so excited. And I said, "What's going on, William?" He said, "Pastor, you won't believe this." Said I was. He's up in the far north. And that's predominantly Muslims. They've got mosques up there, like we have Baptist churches down in the south. And he called, and he was so excited. He said, "In the prisons, the men that are doing the PBI, they're just praising God, and they're giving God glory." And he was so excited. And he said, "Even the Muslims who have gotten saved are now praising Jesus Christ." Amen. And I thought, amen. I couldn't have accomplished that. I don't speak English good. And I know I can't speak French. And Brother William, he can speak English, speak French, and speak the dialects. So sometimes we have double interrupters when we're preaching. And so God is doing the work. And, preach, I'm running short of time.